Hello, 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 hello. This is Sasha Sugar, and you are guys on Radio Free Brooklyn with What Is Love Show. Hope you're all having a beautiful Sunday, and I hope I haven't damaged your ears with my amazing What Is Love opening track. I hope you appreciate it. It's rockin'ish. Two nights ago, I went out to this amazing rock bar, Duffy's, at Williamsburg. They have a jukebox with awesome rock and metal hits, and I decided to, you know, kind of be nostalgic a little bit about my rock youth. Anyways, also, the whole rock theme is aligned with our today's theme about love on the road, and you know me, I'm trying to be conceptual all the time, so I hope you appreciate that. Anyways, shut up, Sasha, and I'd love to introduce my amazing guests, Scotty and Laura, that have just come back from their 2-year round the globe trip, journey, whatever that is. Soul searching, money spending, or money saving. I mean, come on, guys, we live in New York, so sometimes it's useful to go out for 2 years. And here they are in my studio today. I'm very excited to see them both. I'm excited to learn how they survived these 2 years together. And they look without bruises, without any damage. So it seems like they went hitting each other too much on the road. We're going to start right now. And if you have any questions to Scotty and Laura, or if you want to share your own experience of traveling with your loved one across the globe or meeting your love on the road, please call us at 718-928-9732 and we'll answer questions, or not, we'll try at least. Anyways, the theme is love on the road, and Scott and Laura, hello, I'm very happy to see you.
Hello,
Sasha.
Yay,
thanks for having us.
Hey.
I think you sound amazing on the mic. Welcome back. Welcome back to New York. Welcome back to Bushwick. These guys used to live in Bushwick before they went on a trip. And I know this because I was dog sitting their baby. Well, not the actual baby. I was dog sitting their dog. Kind of their baby. So, I know Scotty for quite some time. And I met Laura through Scotty. But we haven't seen each other for over 3 years, I guess. I think you guys even look a bit younger, so maybe you did some of those Thai, I don't know, masks or massages. I don't know, but you look real good. I'm
been
happy
harvesting
to see
the organs of young people in Asia. That's the secret. That's it.
I'm going to on Expedia right now. I want to book the trip to see those, to get those organs. I have a bunch of questions, and of course, 1 hour is not enough. But why don't you start with, how did you come up with this idea of the trip? And do you think your relationship has affected your decision to go on the trip? Or this is something you separately had wanted to do for a long time? Like, basically, how this idea of the trip came to life?
It's a funny one because it's obnoxiously cliche. We were, of all things, like in early spring, sitting on the rooftop of our apartment, like in the worst way, like drinking like wine and eating cheese and looking at the Manhattan skyline.
Oh, poor you!
I know, it's so bad.
I should say that it's not like a finished roof, and it's a roof you could fall off.
Oh no!
Off,
I mean, it was
tar on your ass.
But it was exactly. I mean, yeah, you want to lay something down before you sit up there, but still, and Laura had been working a lot of hours at this job that she was not really a big fan of, and she had recently quit. And anyway, we were just like talking about one thing or another, and the subject of one of her really good friends came up, and he's a, you know, very well educated, somewhat underemployed guy, and I was like, well, why doesn't he just why doesn't he just say the hell with it and like maybe go down to South America for like 6 months or a year or something like that? And of course, like we're sitting there, you know, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, you're the one with the grown-up job here because like Laura's a psychologist and I, you know, I'm like a dev bro. I don't have to do anything. I worked for 6 months and then whatever. And I was like, oh my God, this
Meg's
is
big bucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was like, this is our chance. So I was like, oh my God, why don't we do that? You know, like, and
yeah, that was about it. I mean, I think separately we both always wanted to travel.
Yeah.
For a while, like kind of everybody does, but it's, you sit there and you're like, okay, well, I have 2 weeks off.
So before you guys decided to do that, how long have you been together? You had to be together.
Yesterday was our 4 year dateiversary. So our first date was 4 years ago yesterday. So we're like 2.5 years when we decided, I guess.
Yeah.
Or
okay,
2 years.
So yeah, so guys who listen to the show, it's not like Scotty met Laura and then they had a one-night stand and the next day they decided, okay, let's go on the around the world trip. No, these guys are serious, you know.
Yeah.
They've been together, they know each other. Yeah. Okay. Kind of.
We have lived together for a year.
They kind of lived together, yeah. So, speaking of learning and knowing each other and learning about each other, this trip, my question is, what have you learned of each other that you would not be able to learn about each other without this trip? It could be bad too. I actually want to hear some bad stuff. But good is good.
He'll probably be nice. So he wins. I learned that I'm a lot more anxious than I ever would have thought I am. So like I learned this about myself, and he certainly learned it about me. But like I want to know like details all the time. I want to know what, like I just have to like kind of plan things out in my head of what's going to happen, even if it doesn't happen. And I think that, I mean, definitely drove him nuts at times, yeah. I guess.
Well, I mean, it was good, though. It was a good counterbalance to my, like, you know, waking up and being like, oh, are we supposed to be in another country today? You know, so it was really good that we were both on different sides of that. Not only were we different sides of that scale, but it was nice because we found a way to kind of make both of those things work together. Like, Laura was really good at reminding me that, yeah, I probably shouldn't like lose my passport somewhere. I probably should have all my stuff when we.
Why did you want to lose your passport?
I mean, it's not that I. You know, yeah. But it was the sort of thing, you know, like I.
We actually have to get visas for
India.
Have
to get
visas.
Oh yeah.
So
right.
Laura was
apply
the,
for this
Laura
six,
was the
you know?
One to plan yeah. the trip, and you were the one to kind of
You're
spice
the
it up.
Picture, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was. Yeah. It was. Yeah. I was concept, and Laura was the operations. You know,
yeah,
like it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this how you guys operate in normal life?
Kind of a little bit. It's just you get on the road together, and you have one backpack, and it exacerbates it a bit. So you realize like what roles you usually take on and what you want to do. He's our airport czar, so he's the one who yells at people and people need to be yelled at.
I think the official term was the airport asshole.
Yeah, so, airport asshole.
Like, you know, Laura's not a big confrontational person, and I enjoy that. So, you know, when it came to screaming at somebody at the ticket counter about a connecting flight or something, like that was my job, and I relished it a fair bit. Although there were times, so in the beginning of the trip, we were in South America, and, you know, I at best can speak a couple of words of guidebook Spanish, but, you know, Laura speaks a lot more and can get away with at least, you know, swearing at people with authority in Spanish. And we ended up at a bus station.
Because of Laura.
Well, I mean, the thing was, is we had to catch this early bus to go to the next town, and like, we were meeting Laura's like college roommate there. And
it's an 8-hour bus ride through the Andes. Like, it's not like a little bus.
Yeah, it's not like we can just catch the next one. And there was this big mix up where I guess in Chile, paper is magic, because the guy had like a list that had our passport number on it. But he's like, oh no, you have to print out your ticket. We can't print it off the computer screen because paper is more secure. And at that point, I'm screaming, and this guy has no idea what I'm saying. So I'm just
look
like a maniac.
Spanish.
Yeah, and like Laura's like calmly
in Spanish.
Yeah,
calmly curses in Spanish.
Yeah. And then we figured quickly. Like, it took us a little while, and then we figured out the guy was just angling to get like a couple of dollars worth of a bribe, and then we got on the bus. You know,
oh, bribes are universal, not only in Russia, actually. Yeah, and I'm not from Russia, just for you to know. All you know, I'm from Belarus, but I speak Russian, so bribes are universal. We kind of jumped into the the route and the trip. Why don't you tell a bit about what was the route and how long you actually spent on the road, just for those who are not aware, to get a better understanding. Like, these guys been to pretty sick places, not a 5-star hotel in Paris. So yeah, exactly.
So we have a pup, a dog, which you mentioned. So we had to, his mother like is a saint, and so she took Henry for a year and a half.
Bless you, Scotty's mother.
Yeah, amazing. So we drove across country to Montana, where she lives, to kind of hang out, drop off the dog. And then we flew out of San Francisco and did South America. So we did Peru, Chile, and Argentina. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Easter Island from there. And we had the most ridiculous amount of layovers to get back over to Southeast Asia.
That flight was from Easter Island, which is the most remote airport in the world.
Yeah, it's 5 hours from Chile.
So
it's 5 hours from Chile.
By plane. And then the next plane, Tahiti, I think is 6 hours from there. So it's like just by itself in the Pacific.
So it was, like from Easter Island to Santiago, Santiago to Miami, Miami to L.A., L.A. to Hong Kong, and Hong Kong to Bangkok.
It was a crazy ticket we had bought.
It was a long trip. Yeah. That was a long long flight.
So
these guys are just looking at each other as if something interesting happened on that flight.
Yeah, right. Basically like sleeping next to people or sleeping on you. It's just disgusting. Oh my God,
You know, polyamory is a trend right now. So no judgment here. Not in my studio. Actually, my roommate, when I was talking about the show, about you guys, the first question she wanted to know, oh, do they have some couple stuff? I'm like, what do you mean by couple stuff? You know, couple and couple stuff. Like, what are you talking about? But then you mentioned Argentina. And I know that my friends who traveled to Argentina, and they had some experience in a swinger club there. Apparently, it's a big thing.
I can see that in Argentina.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see Argentines being
being
down.
But you've not.
We didn't have any.
No, we're pretty vanilla.
Yeah, it was.
A look of disappointment on Scotty's face. Okay, it's okay. So Mia, I answered your question. My room with Mia. So no couple stuff.
No, sorry.
Boring trip.
So disappointing.
So right, yeah, so then you came to South Asia.
Yeah, we landed in Japan. We were in Thailand.
Yeah.
We did Thailand, Malaysia. The route kind of moves in and out. But then we wound up in Sri Lanka and then India.
Yeah. 2 months in India, and then from India with a short stop over in Hong Kong, we went to Japan just to have like the two most opposite countries that you can possibly imagine sandwiched right next to one another. That was pretty fantastic.
Being
and then
dirty,
polite. Oh yeah,
not so polite.
Yeah, and then from there went to Vietnam, which was amazing. And then
it was more relaxed. And then
Vietnam's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we were back in Thailand for a while, and then we went to. In Cambodia.
Any lazy boy experiences, Scotty?
No. You know, like, that's the thing, man. I tell you.
What is it? What are we doing on the trip?
I know.
We started on fun.
We wound up back in Thailand with a friend of ours from New York wound up there. And that was a generally interesting experience of him trying to organize some sort of threesome while we were, like, on the roof of a bar.
Wait, what?
Oh, sorry. He was a friend from New York. So when we were in Thailand, I think three different people from New York wound up in Thailand with us. And so we were like sitting there hanging out, and it was this girl that he knew from Bangkok came up to hang out, and they just spent the whole entire time trying to swipe right and find somebody for some threesome. Like, it was like so poorly
organized. Oh, wait, there's Tinder there too?
Yeah.
Is it popular? I have no luck with Tinder in New York. Maybe I should go to Thailand.
I think it was Tinder.
Or maybe some local app, like... Lady boy, swipe.
That was the thing on the islands. Like at least our friends that were single, it was hilarious because we'd get, you know, there were a couple of places that were like co-working spaces, mm-hmm. and so there'd be a few people that would be working on the road doing freelance work or whatever. But they were always like, oh no, you got to turn off Tinder when you get here, because what you're gonna do is you're gonna swipe right on somebody and then walk in and see them like in your co-working space, like right next to you. And you're like, yeah,
there's only 50 of us on the island.
There's like 50 English speakers on the island, so you know.
All right. Okay, so then you went to Europe.
We ended in Spain. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were in Spain for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a call. 1 second. Hello, hello. This is What Is Love Show.
Sugar.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Who is that?
This is Jelani.
Oh, Jelani. Oh, my God. All right. Jelani. Okay, guys, who doesn't know who Jelani is? He's a very important man on this planet. And he is super hungover today, as we can all hear. Hi, Jelani. I'm so happy to hear you.
I could have called in, my doc, he's on the show too.
can you speak a bit louder, because you have an accent and I always have issues understanding what you say, but especially now.
Oh man, what's up, Jelani?
Chill, man, how you doing?
Doing good, man. It's nice to be back in the States.
Seriously, a trip around the world, man.
As if you don't go to Ibiza every fucking weekend, Jelani. Please.
Yeah. Jelani's like a globe-trotting motherfucker. So, like, yeah.
So, Jelani, do you want to share your like romantic story from your trip, or you have a question to Scotty and Laura? Yeah, you had to have a question to call the show. Like, come on, this is real radio.
Okay. So there we go. What was your favorite beach on your trip? Most romantic beach?
Oh, yo, I definitely would say like the favorite beach was on Easter Island. There's only one sandy beach, and it's on like the other end of the island from where the town is at. And it's, you know, beautiful white sand, surf, and palm trees, and then like a whole row of Moai statues just looking over the water. And I mean, you know, it's got to be the most otherworldly experience, and that was just wild.
Koh Lanta in Thailand. Yeah. Like the freaking sunsets there, it's pretty, the beaches are pretty empty, they're gorgeous. There's, I don't know, that place is, every single night is like this ridiculous sunset on the beach. We lived there for we lived there in a hut for like two months.
Like, yeah, it was such a cliche. We're like in a beach hut, you know, I'd be like drinking like Thai rum under a mosquito net, just sweating in the night. It was wonderful.
So, Jelani, what's your favorite beach? Most romantic beach? Share with us.
That's a tough call. I'd have to say, I would probably go there too. One of them is Australia. It's not really like, it's just really empty, usually, like a Holly Beach in Cairns. The Great Barrier Reef, that's just pretty cool because it's usually not a lot of people, but it's a chill, like nice sandy beach. And the other one is kind of cliche, but it would be in Hawaii, in the Big Island. You know, I always thought, well, Hawaii is a little overrated, but the Big Island is like nice, really good black sand beaches.
Nice.
And you can actually swim, and there'll be like, last time I was there was dolphins swimming like just like literally within like
nuts.
Not even like several feet of us, and then a whale breached. Like a little bit further out than that, I was like, "Wow, this is pretty crazy."
Oh, awesome. You enjoyed swimming with whales, Jelani? How romantic is that?
It is. Yeah.
That's pretty.
So I think it is. Like you're one with nature.
That's actually funny. We were, Laura and I were swimming in a rock pool in Easter Island.
And you found a dead whale?
No, it's not even that good. But
you can just tell how I'm an idiot.
But we were we're like swimming along, and I'm like, holy crap, that rock is like, is that floating? Is it? And I was like, oh my God, it's a sea turtle. And then and then I realized Laura's like kind of like on my back, and she's like,
is it going to bite me? So I was asking, is it going to bite me?
And she knows it's not going to. She knows turtles don't bite me.
I've taken so many biology classes, I don't know what to do with myself.
Listen, this world's a crazy place. You never know.
In the moment, sometimes you got to jump on somebody's back and get away from the turtle.
It's a very big creature.
That's also what turtles do. That reminds me of the most romantic thing I've seen in the beach. I saw one time I was in Costa Rica. I was snorkeling, and we got back on the boat, and there were these two sea turtles having sex. Shell and shell. It was the weirdest boat.
You can get caught up in that. You wind up losing a foot.
All right, Jelani.
How'd you lose the foot?
thanks for your romantic stories with whales and other creatures. I actually talked about women mostly, but whales are sexy too, I guess. So.
No judgment, Sasha.
Exactly. Well, Jelani, thanks so much for calling, and hope you're not hungover anymore. And maybe we should get together, like the Form Up Live crew, one day.
Yeah.
And talk more about whales. Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy your Sunday. Thanks for calling.
All right. Later.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, man.
Bye.
Oh, so you guys, if anyone else has a sexy whale story, please call us on the show, 718-928-9732. And we will not be judgmental, I promise. Not really, but yeah, I promise. So speaking of that story, right? So when other critical situations came out, how were you making the decisions? Who was the decision maker? Or did you just rely on the intuition? Or were you rotating? Or like really critical shit? Like, oh, like you just missed your flight and now you have to wait for another 54 hours. Exaggerating.
We did a pretty decent job. So we did not miss a plane, a bus, or a train.
Yeah, that was amazing.
The entire time.
The whole time. Didn't miss a single transport.
Wow. Pretty intense.
Even in India.
That was the close call. You brought it up in India, and that was the close call. So we were waiting for 4 hours in India for a train that was late, and we're fucking out of nowhere. And he had just been sick for a week, and because India.
Yeah, they had
and,
the
bad curry?
Yeah, something bad. And then... Yeah. So,
oh, some, like, you know, they have those like hashish shakes. Was that?
The banglasis.
Yeah,
that didn't get me sick. But.
No, this was straight E. coli.
Yeah.
This train finally comes, and it's like in India, there's all these different classes on the train. So you could, like, you get on the wrong one, you got to wait another stop before. Right. Meanwhile, it's like a cattle car. And so, I was like, we gotta get on this, like, our car, our thing, and the train's like a mile long. And so I'm like trying to get to our car to the point that the train is starting to move.
Oh, I'm losing my mind at this point.
And your passport.
And like, finally, he's just like, Laura, get on the fucking train. Like,
you turn
which
around.
He never, like, curses at me at all.
Laura's like, don't swear. I'm like, get on the train.
I was like, you don't swear at me. You're not allowed to swear at me.
We got on the train, and Laura's like, oh, I'm God, so okay, sorry. All right.
I'm so sorry. Oh, I can't believe you did that.
Oh, like, yeah. I almost, like, didn't get on the train because I was so stuck in my head about what car I
trying to get on the right car. I mean, you know, it's the sort of thing. You just, you get kind of caught up in the moment, but...
I mean, train stops for, like, 2 minutes before it slowly starts to pull away.
Was there any experience when, let's say, you, Laura, thought, oh, my gosh, this is why I'm with this guy? Like, he just did something, like, wow, that's crazy. Or vice versa.
That's a good question. Do you have one?
Oh, gosh, I can't think of it. Like, I mean,
it's okay. You can. I can actually. You know it.
Yeah.
Why don't we, while we're thinking about it, and to, you know, to show everyone how prepared I am for the show, I have the whole list of songs. How do you feel like the Born to be Wild, Around the World by Red Hot Chili Peppers, The Passenger by Iggy Pop? What do you want to listen to?
Chili Peppers.
Okay, yeah, they just released a new album.
Iggy Pop, yeah,
like, because God didn't want like an Iggy Pop, and you're more like a Red Hot Chili Peppers. So, in this case, we will play Sweet Home Alabama because that's All right, we are back on air. This is What Is Love show on Radio Free Brooklyn. And today we are talking about love on the road. And I have Scott and Laura in my studio. They just came back from a two-year-long around the world trip. And the question that I asked before we took a music break was, was there anything about themselves that made the kind of pivotal moment or highlight of the trip when they both realized that, wow, this is why I'm with this person. Like, this is why, like, she or he's like my soulmate or my partner.
Yeah, and I was kind of saying that, you know, I'm not sure that one moment really pops out, but the thing that was amazing was really the day-to-day. It was that we had to very quickly learn to not just be around each other every day, but, you know, like, be a functional unit. And when we needed to go places, and, you know, like, we were the only other people that we could depend on anywhere that we were. And there was something really special about the fact that we were able to do that, and that we did it, I feel like, very successfully.
So yeah. Do you think that, let's say, if you just did a trip, a solo trip, Scotty, or you did a solo trip, Laura, well, for women, it's a bit harder, but in a way, it's easier, because every single man wants to help you out. Yeah. And I'm sharing my personal experience when I went to India backpacking. It was quite amazing how much help I was, you know, offered by guys. But do you think that your union, like, it wasn't just kind of a synergy of the two of you, but it actually has created something unique, like a third. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's,
no, I think so.
The power of the two, it wasn't just a double power, but rather it was a something new.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, he was talking about the day-to-day, but it's like every single experience we had, we, like, just tried to, like, we were going to go through it again in a way. Like, we were going to go be at an airport again. We were going to be in this situation again. We were going to be dealing with somebody trying to sell us something or do whatever. And I think we just kept trying to get better at it. And that just, I mean, it just makes us better. We're so, like, so quick with everything now. And it's, So, like, just, everything is just so easy now. It is just, like, one unit. Kind of. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I
mean, well, it was, you know, one of those things, like, you're never going to not have conflict. You're never going to not have moments where you're incredibly frustrated and everything else around you is chaotic and things are going nuts. And so if that's the case, it's like, well, all right, then we have to learn to deal with these moments as they come. And there's the fact that they're always going to be around. And, you know, we had, you know, just a lot of little things. Like, Laura was like a genius for coming up with, it's so simple, but like when we were like on a travel day or something like that, you know, not only would we remind ourselves that, okay, it's gonna be stressful today, we know we're gonna like kind of want to argue, but we can't, and like we'd start to feel hot around the collar or something, and we just like, we do like pinky swear, and you just, there's something about this like silly, like kind of silly gesture, this
so
moment
cute.
Where you kind of like, you know, and you kind of grab each other's pinkies,
oh,
and you're like, okay,
no arguing,
you can't argue, and it takes you out of the moment, and all of a sudden that's enough to be like, okay, well, there are other way more important things than me getting whatever it is on my mind that I'm frustrated
about.
Do you still do
that after a trip?
Yeah, every now and then. We know it's going to be a stressful day or something. Yeah. We'll definitely do that.
What were actually the biggest challenges in the trip, or what were you arguing the most about?
I think it's days we were traveling.
Yeah,
were
definitely
the toughest.
Travel days, yeah.
I mean, both of us are, you know, I'm not particularly confrontational, but both of us are stubborn and have ideas about how we want to do things.
This is true.
And a lot of time we agree, and a lot of time we don't. But so it was just those days were the most, because everything was novel, everything was new, and we all had, both of us had ideas about how we were going to do something and why it was so much better than how the other person wanted to do it.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, and you couple that with like trying to make like a tight connection on a plane, and, you know, it adds a level of stress. And then you, not only do you think maybe your idea is better, that you're also like worried about, you know, something going wrong. And yeah. You know,
I mean, so we started to do things like, you know, you're in charge of this travel day kind of thing. And like,
okay.
I'm just going to take a back seat, let you be in charge of it, not question it. If we miss a plane, we miss a plane.
That's a good solution.
Like, what's the difference? We'll figure it out.
At first, we tried to do, divide up certain responsibilities. Like, okay, well, you're in charge of getting us from one gate to the other, and then I'll be in charge of making sure we have all of this together. But what we found was it was better to just put one person in charge
for the day.
Because then you didn't have those moments where you're like worried and then you're both looking at each other going, all right, which one of us has this?
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So midway, you kind of figure out the logistics, how to navigate. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you guys spent pretty much 24/7 together for 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we got to Seattle and it was so funny. Like we're first place
we touched down in the States.
Okay.
Yeah, that was where we landed on the West Coast because we drove and did a big road trip to come back to New York, and we had a bunch of errands to run. And, you know, and we're
getting
sitting
coats.
Kind of like, yeah, exactly. we'd packed for the equator coats for the whole year, and then all of a sudden it was whatever November in Seattle, and then anyway, like we're like, oh, we have to do this and we have to do that. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like on autopilot. And Laura looks at me. She's like, you don't have to come with me. Like, I can just get those things and you can get your stuff. I'm like,
Our phones work here. Like, we know where we are. It's totally fine.
Oh, that probably felt real weird.
Well,
on the trip, how did you deal with the privacy issues? I sound like a Facebook now. But, like, did you get... Well, first part of the question, did you get bored sometimes of being together? And did you allow each other alone time?
I mean, weird. It was like really, yeah, it was actually
yeah,
kind
we
of.
Have a, I think we have a weird.
We're disgusting.
We have a really weird relationship of how much time we spend together.
It's really
kind of.
It's not trendy.
Embarrassing.
It's trendy to be individual.
Yeah, I know. We're
thing
a little
the time.
We spend a lot of time together, but I think I don't know. We had different things that we would do separately a little bit, but for the most part, we were together the whole time. Just was like a given. I don't know.
You guys, you went working on the tour.
We were.
Yeah, we were. As much as we could. In India, I would probably say we did the least because we're moving every couple of days.
Yeah.
But we lived in Buenos Aires for a month. I mean, we just rented an apartment. We lived in the city.
You still stayed within the same space even when you were working.
Yeah. We were still like sitting across the dining room table working on, whatever.
Yeah.
Like writing a book.
Are you the same clothes? Are you same clothes in New York to also spend almost 24/7?
Yeah, now we're both freelancing and working.
So we're both.
Now we're still spending 24 hours a day.
And none of you never wants to just go out to a coffee shop and just kind of change the
We first got back to the city. We did.
Yeah.
And now we just kind of. You go out with your friends. I go out with mine.
Yeah.
But. That's nice.
We're not totally all always.
But we don't even you don't think about it. It's like, okay, well, where are we going to lunch today? Like, it's just an automatic. It's really.
So, do you think this trip has brought you together? Of course, it has brought you together, but is there like a different level of intimacy that you're sharing now? Where you were? I mean, I know that you were pretty close before the trip, but do you think that this trip has actually kind of opened up? A new level of relationship and intimacy between you two.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just like a level of comfort and just like it just things feel so solid. It's like, okay, well, we've done so much I just feel super super comfortable in a way that is.
Disgusting.
It's very disgusting.
I mean, you see each other just at like your absolute best and your absolute worst. Yeah. Within like a week period.
What's the absolute worst in Scotty, Laura?
I don't know. E. coli, probably.
Yeah, he is a baby when he is sick, that's
well,
for sure.
I mean, to be fair, I almost died.
You
so.
Did. You were really, really sick.
Yeah, turns out, I found out after getting E. coli in India that I'm also allergic to Cipro, which is the antibiotic that they give you for that. And
you identified that after they gave it to
well,
you.
After, yeah,
yeah.
Well, at,
his
well,
whole I, body I broke out in hives.
Identified it, yeah, when my throat was getting itchy and closing up and I was covered with hives. And so, Yeah.
And I'm on like instant messenger with our messages with my brother-in-law's anesthesiologist being like, what the hell? And I'm like, the nearest hospital is an Ayurvedic hospital. That's so not going to
happen. That just means they would chant over me.
Yeah. I was just like, you cannot die on me in India.
I know. What an embarrassing place to die. Yeah. That would be like, super embarrassing.
Let's do it in Barcelona, not in India.
This is too complicated.
Yeah. That was, I mean, it was nuts. I mean, when I got to India, I think I weighed like 155 pounds. And when we got to Japan, I weighed 139. So it was pretty gnarly. So yeah, I mean I am a big baby when I'm sick, that's true, but I'm also a big baby when I'm dying. So there's that.
And you have a big ego. Come on. Yeah. That remark was unnecessary. Well, but that was quite an extreme case. But what about just day-to-day stuff? Is there anything that you guys kind of hate about each other? I mean, hate love about each other, cuz obviously, you're totally in love with each other.
The planning kills me. But
the planning does kill you. I mean, he has so much more of like a quick temper, not with me, but with like other people than I do. Like you're quick to just be like annoyed by somebody or like think something like
I know. Like nefarious. When we worked with Scotty, I think he hated me. Well, it's only because he couldn't understand me and he couldn't understand how awesome I am with my accent. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Very short on the patience. Very short on the patience.
I'm a terrible person.
Don't wake up a beast on this, Scotty.
I think you like I'm endearing to you, so you're just like, oh, like I can't stand extreme temperatures of like, I don't know, anywhere outside of
room 60. Temperature.
Room temperature is my ideal anything. Temperature. So like
I'll more than 10 degrees Celsius above or below room temperature.
Yeah, I'll just start whining as soon as it hits like 90. I'm just like, India was 110 degrees. Oh, I was miserable for like a month.
Yeah. What about Laura? Is there anything that
I mean,
you hate about me
it's now? I mean, it's the you know, it's the mirror image of that. It's the, you know, like the planning thing, you know, where you're like, I'm like, let's just go, and Laura's like, well, let's make sure we look up all of these things first, and that's really good. That's really, really good. But sometimes it's like, well, now we've just spent longer looking the things up than we would have if we would have just gone to see.
I got much,
you know,
better
what's
at
there.
It.
Yeah, no, we've. I mean, we both.
I really let go.
Yeah, eventually, kind of moved a little closer to the center on both.
I
of
think
us.
especially India kind of makes you just let things go, because, well, at least in my experience, probably 20% of my plan was realized. And because of that, my trip was even better than I planned it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point in midway, I just had to, let things happen to you, let it be, and whatever. And it was amazing.
Yeah, we just got to the point where we're booking a hotel like the night before we get somewhere, and then for like a night, and then we go explore and figure out where we want to go. And like, and we just got really used to doing that, and someplace looked good to eat for we eat, like.
Oh, yeah.
Got much better about it.
So going back to the question of like intimacy on the road and traveling, my question to you is, do you think that the fact that you travel together has constrained your interactions with locals and maybe getting some of the experiences that you would have gotten otherwise if you were travel solo?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's something about having a partner with you that makes it a lot easier to avoid like uncomfortable interactions or whatever, which, and to be fair, it's almost always a little bit uncomfortable when you're around strangers and you're introducing yourself to new people. I was mentioning that, you know, when we're in South America, I barely know any Spanish, but if I would have spent 2 months in South America by myself, I would have come away learning, like knowing a lot more, but I could always rely, you know, when I got stuck on Laura bailing me out and so forth. Yeah,
I think you were better in Spain when we went up in Spain.
Yeah,
kind of interacting with people more, trying to talk more.
She would always laugh though, because I would charge up to people and start talking, and then quickly run out of words that I had, and be like, and then just start panicking as they started speaking back to me, and I was like, get over here.
And just like look at me wide-eyed.
Like a little baby.
I made a huge mistake.
Did you guys have any situation when, well, you both are very good-looking people, and, you know, it's a show about love and sex and everything, but did you have a maybe experience when Let me try to remember which country it could be. I don't know, maybe even in South America, like somebody hit on Laura when she was just, you know, kind of walking down the street. Like, did you have any experiences when,
I mean,
of little jealousy moments or a little awkwardness because you were traveling as a couple, but you were not taken as a couple, or people weren't aware that you were a couple? Or you were literally 24/7 together and holding hands and kissing on the streets, like, you know, dusty streets of Bombay.
Oh, Bombay.
God, Bombay.
Bombay was India was probably where it was the most.
Well, as far as that goes, it wasn't exactly like somebody was.
Bombay was probably my least like favorite place we were.
Almost
total.
Definitely, yeah.
Like out of in the world, not just India, but just in general, was probably was not my favorite. Beautiful city, just.
Yeah, so well, like for instance, in somewhere like Bombay, it wasn't that somebody had mistaken us for being single and separate. It was just that, you know, people would openly stare, you know, like aggressively in a way that, and
unpleasant.
It's very hostile. Yeah, exactly. Reeds is pretty much very hostile anywhere else on the planet, I guess, but apparently not.
Yeah, it was
there.
A little so excited.
This is strange,
like, wave his
because Bombay is probably the most international city of India, and there are so many Europeans and Americans.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like the easiest one, and it was. I think maybe that's also too our expectations of what it was going to be like. Mm-hmm. We're out of step with like what it actually was. So it probably wasn't anywhere near as. But I was like, whoa! I was like, I'm not. Yeah.
It also depends on where you're at too. Yeah. I'm sure if we were like in Bandra or something like that, it would have been a wildly different experience.
Yeah, we were on the causeway, which is the kind of touristy part. But, I mean, I think India was the most getting used to kind of the staring thing. This is culturally like okay, but that's different than.
Yeah, that's a different thing than what you're talking
about. Those kinds
about,
of things,
sure.
It's not just like somebody approaching you.
Did you guys meet any other couples who were traveling, or have you witnessed, I guess this is more of a learning question of a learning experience, have you encountered any other couples traveling, or have you seen some, you know, love, romantic, or relationship stuff, logo? That was interesting or that kind of shifted your perspective?
There was a couple. We definitely met a couple people, couples who were traveling on the road. One that we only knew them for a couple days. There's this really interesting couple from the Netherlands, right?
Oh.
We met in Penang. They were working, they were from Amsterdam. Amsterdam? I don't remember. Anyway, somewhere in Europe. And they were, but they basically were traveling together and they were working wherever they set themselves up. So not just digitally remote. They were like, when we were in Penang, they went in ahead and like they were graphic designers and offered their services to like the local festival that was happening.
Wow.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
In Hong Kong,
they
did
that.
They were probably the most interesting, some of the most interesting people we met. They were like, we're going to go someplace and we're going to try to actually work there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, they had worked for like, you know, the
branding
Penang Streetlight Festival thing. And I'm like, that's so awesome. Like everywhere they went, they were a part of the local thing.
And trying to figure out like how to get big posters printed and do all this stuff in countries that are completely foreign to them. They're really interesting, really neat couple. I met a bunch of people who were like digital nomad kind of style, and we met people who met each other on the road and started traveling together. One couple got engaged
on the road.
Yeah, met each other on the road and then were engaged a couple months later.
Were they 21?
Yeah, it seems maybe. I don't know. I don't know how old they were. Late 20s. Though,
all right. No judgment on my show.
Yeah.
No judgment.
We met couples that got together on the road, lived together, and then split up. Kind of
during the same trip.
Yeah, during the same trip.
You know, this area, people just want things to happen fast.
Yeah,
you know?
And he's just like,
meet, get married, divorce, next, swipe, right, blah, blah. Jeez. You're so lucky you've met each other, to be honest.
Online dating.
Whoa. Wait. Hold
there's
on a
success
second.
Story.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we met on OkCupid.
I did not know that.
That's absolutely true.
I need another hour for this topic. Yeah. I mean, wow. You have to tell me about it now. Because, I personally don't have any luck, so I actually deactivated my account.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I hear less and less of successful stories of people meeting online.
I think we got lucky in the sense that, like, besides meeting each other, obviously, we got in, like, just before the swipe apps came in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we were on OkCupid, and you fill out so many freaking questions, so you know a lot about a person before you even meet them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and we had, like, this obnoxious match percentage of, like, 99%, 99% match, you know. Yeah.
We actually couldn't even look the same. The more I look at you, the more I hear you. Feel like maybe somehow
we're related. Probably
that's
related.
A good sci-fi story.
No, but they say if a couple look alike, it doesn't mean that they're brother sister, but it means that they're just gonna get along real well.
That was the one we would get either that.
Did you text a lot before meeting in person, or you just kind of matched and decided to go out for drinks?
Probably like a couple of messages back and forth.
You gotta pull the trigger on that stuff. You start talking to each other online, then you're like, I don't know. It's not gonna
happen. No, I agree with that.
It's like you get a drink. Yeah. That's it.
And that was it. That was like,
No. Then we had a very awkward, like, 6 or 9 months of, like, on and off dating before
on-off
we,
dating,
you know,
okay.
Yeah.
You know, so. It's New York, so.
Yeah.
It's a lot more complicated than it needs to be.
It is.
Yeah, so we split up, got back together.
All right. Yeah.
And then that was that. Once we got back together.
You are so lucky. OkCupid. Yeah, because the things are different now. OkCupid has a swipe right, swipe left feature. Well,
it's
whatever.
Addictive, I'm sure.
And maybe when you were, again, for some reason, I'm going back to South America. I want to travel there, probably in 2019. We'll see how things go. But to me, I feel like their perception of relationship and love and dating is slightly different. So I don't know if you've met any local couples, so just had some local conversations about, and not necessarily romantic love, but just maybe relationship in general, friendship or family, something interesting that you think is not not similar to the American situation.
I mean, the level of public displays of affection are definitely at a high down there. There's like no issue with people just like making out all over the place, but then also it's like you live with your families for so long, because like Catholicism is such a big deal down there. So it's like you go from living with your family to living with each other. But then there's all these like love hotels that are there. Like,
love hotels.
Yeah. So there's like hotels that you like go to. You can just put it's like a weird motel, but that's where you go with your girlfriend or your boyfriend because you both live with your parents.
Yeah. Both people live with their parents. So they have to go and stay.
That was really
common. They're not allowed to.
It's like
have
a big thing in Argentina. Yeah.
They're not allowed to have intimacy. I mean, I was talking about.
It's like pretty well understood.
Yeah. 20-something.
Yeah, 20-something. So it's like pretty well understood that you'll go use those hotels. It just like is not okay for you to be, you know, screwing in your parents' house.
Does the guy pay for that? Or
probably.
I mean,
yeah. I feel like South America is definitely
machismo.
The feministic movement is not
well
developed there yet.
I mean, Buenos Aires is probably quite different, but just because it's a city, but.
No.
But that was definitely, you like drive by and like more of like country roads and there's just a hotel with big like neon hearts.
The love hotels in Japan are different, but
somewhat
similar.
Well, that's Japanese salarymen.
I read a book about that.
Well, because the thing is that the trains stop running really early in Japan. So like say if you're a salaryman and you're at work and you have to catch a train home, if you're a little late, you know, get out of the office at like 8 or 9 p.m., which a lot of them do. Then they just stay in a love hotel, and that's
it. Is this something Sometimes you've learned like. From the locals, or is it something you've read about, or is it something you actually...
I mean, you see them.
...took advantage of.
No. I mean, I wish. They're kind of ridiculous, I think. They're like little pods.
Yeah, they're all themed. Yeah, they're hilarious.
Like, themed? Like,
yeah, the ones...
Themed they
like, I mean, like, they'll have, like, you know, like, beach-themed rooms or future-themed. I mean, it's Japan, so it's always hilarious. But like they have, they're like vending machines for the keys, so you don't even have to really talk to anybody. You just put your money in a machine, spits out keys and your room number.
That's kind of how the love hotels in South America are too.
Yeah.
You put your credit card in the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's different.
Okay.
It's a little more. I mean, Japan's crazy as far as like all of that stuff goes. Like porn and all that stuff is just on street level. Like, it's just a
Japan is like the future with more pornography.
That's it.
Okay. Maybe I'll somehow translate my current job into that. No, because right now, my company, we find fraud in online advertising. Basically, when the advertising gets placed on porn sites instead of the actual real domains. So maybe that the Japan will be the next extension, the next level. Yeah. Right, we have about 5 minutes left. I just wanted to say thank you to Radio Free Brooklyn for letting me have the show every other Sunday, 2 p.m. We have a bunch of other shows. We have about 70 shows, I think, at this moment on different subjects, on different... What's happened with my backing track? It's weird. I think it doesn't like the fact we talk about Japan so much. Okay, it's good now. So, and Radio for Brooklyn is an independent, self-made, self-grown radio station. So we are appreciating any donation to support what we do, to keep growing, to keep doing our job. So please go to radioforbrooklyn.com, and there is a Patreon button on the right top corner, and you can donate as much as $1 million or $2 million. I'm just kidding. You can just give us $1 a month, so whatever you want, we appreciate that. If you want to be a sponsor of my show, What Is Love Show, you know I'm amazing, so you can contact me directly, or you can sponsor the show from the page on the Radio for Brooklyn as well. So also, if you have any final questions to Scotty and Laura, please call us at 718-928-9732. And I guess we have time for one more question. So that's all. Well, back to you guys. So what's next? Well, first of all, before what's next, the question is, has the image of your partner, Laura for Scotty, Scotty for Laura, changed after this trip?
Not really. I mean,
Laura will never forget the image something. Of dying Scotty in India. That's gonna stay forever in front of her eyes.
I mean, no, I think, you know, I think it's just more the intimacy thing. So it's just like, I think I just see more of you, I guess, mm-hmm. than I did before.
Yeah.
I don't know. More sides of you, like bad and good. But it's all who you are. So it's just, I don't know. It all works.
Yeah. No.
I'm the same.
Yeah, no. I agree. Yeah, I think so.
I like how you guys like having your own chat right here.
I know.
Fuck you, Sasha, and your radio. Let's figure out what we want to say to each other. I'm just kidding. This is awesome. This is actually quite amazing to, you know, observe that. I had a blind date on my previous episode, and they were actually sitting in those corners quite far from each other, and they weren't even looking at each other. They were looking at me all the time. I'm like, guys, you are on a date. I'm here just, you know, to kind of do the board and play the music and ask questions. Like, but forget about me for a second. Yeah, it was fun. Well, it didn't really work.
That's a neat idea.
Well, no, it was an awesome idea, but, well, I'm not going to bet my was my friend, so, but it didn't work. And what's next? You've been here for 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah.
2 months.
Guys just got a new apartment in Nolita.
Mm-hmm. I think we're staying pretty local for a while. I think we were talking about heading to France for a week in April. I mean,
yeah, but that's like a little trip. But the next longer one, I think, is I'm originally from Alaska, and we're talking about going up to my hometown, which is a very tiny fishing village in the middle of nowhere in Alaska for like maybe a month and a half or so, summer after next.
So I think settling back in New York, and then
It'll just be nice to be back in the city and kind of like get reacquainted with home.
Especially spring is coming. It's like the best time in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, have you been to Alaska before?
Nope.
I remember you went there about three years ago or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 4 years.
And then we met, and you were talking about all your friends been either killed or being in prison for killing. So it's, yes, it's a pretty dangerous situation.
Alaska's a dark place.
Yeah, very romantic. Good luck. I
know. It's also very pretty, though.
So we'll be on a fishing boat. Yeah.
Do you plan to learn some fishing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to teach her how to pick fish. That's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good skill to have.
Yeah. I know.
You never know when you
might need
to. You can
always fall back on
that. Exactly. You came back to, you know, to Trump America. So, I mean, New York is more or less fine, but
we're all going back to weird industries.
You need to learn all the skills. Yeah, for sure. Well, is there anything else? We have about 1 minute. Something about your relationship or love that you would like to share with the larger audience, maybe an advice or the no-no.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think again, it's kind of boring, but I think that the biggest takeaway was like stopping ourselves from escalating to anything. We were like in the most tense situations, we would be like, okay, if we can just pull off that steam a little bit and then remember where we're at.
Go travel with somebody.
Yeah.
Like, travel with somebody you're dating because it tells you a lot.
Yeah, you'll get to know very quickly whether or not you're compatible. Yeah. That's for sure.
There is some Bill Murray quote of, like, traveling with somebody for a long time, and it's like, if you still love them when you get back, just, like, marry them at the airport, basically. But it's just, like, it puts you under some stress. You see kind of all sides of somebody.
Yeah.
And if you still love them after that, it's pretty good.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot, Scott and Laura. Thanks, Radio for Brooklyn. This was What is Love and Sasha Sugar. I'll see you in a few weeks. Enjoy your Sunday and stay with us, Angelica and Amanda and Max with the Empty Orchestra show. And they'll play the Oscar-nominated tracks. So if you want to sing as Adele, call us, call it a show, and sing Adele's track. Right, bye-bye, What is Love? Oh, no, that's not the right track. Anyways, go on the road, too.